Are you tired of all the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consulting are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them handle all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925, or you can visit their website at www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com. Again, that's www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambryce Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, which I just ate, which was delicious. S as in sangria. M as in margaritas, which I will be having a little bit later. Kennedy Miller, my boy.
Yes, sir.
Man, where can the folks find you on Twitter, dog?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. A big thank you to our sponsors at Cambryce Tax Consulting as well. Tax season is in full swing. So to make sure the IRS ain't trying to come and get you, holler at our folks at Cambryce Tax Consulting. Going to have another ad for them in the middle of the show. But somebody else who's trying to get their money, and they're not the IRS, Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson's having some trouble getting his paper. Ravens hit him with the non-exclusive franchise tag. And since then, there have been a whole lot of teams talking about, nah, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson. So, Ken, I want to ask you this, man. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
This is craziness. It's craziness to me, honestly, to see what a 26-year-old, former MVP quarterback that is just not getting love from majority of NFL teams. Like, it was just amazing to me how quickly certain teams would just say, like, oh, no, we're not interested. Like, as soon as he got hit with that tag, it was like the Atlanta Falcons were like, yeah, we're not interested. Well, like, my question is, what do you have better? Like, even the Carolina Panthers, who just traded for the number one pick, which is nice. But, like, wouldn't your team with Lamar Jackson, and maybe if you kept DJ Moore and just sent those first rounders, couldn't they be better in the near future? I would think so. Like, a quarterback that young, that's that talented, who, if I'm not mistaken, has only lost 16 games as a starter in the regular season. I just don't get why teams who, when we talk about this all the time, it is so hard to find a quarterback that you are confident in can win you a Super Bowl. I'm not supremely confident that Lamar can win a Super Bowl, but I know he can get you to the playoffs, and I know he can win a playoff game or two if you build the right system around him. So, like, I don't understand what the big holdup is with all these teams and just quickly rushing him away like, oh, no, we don't want him. We're fine with whatever other bottom-tier quarterback that we have.
All right, so I got all the teams in the NFL pulled up. We're going to go basically division by division. And let's really look at how many teams that Lamar Jackson would be a better option than whoever the hell they got now. All right, so in the NFC East, realistically, maybe the Jets, but they're going to end up probably with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, cool. The AFC South, the Texans, he'd be an upgrade. Indianapolis, he'd be an upgrade. In the West, Vegas, he'd be an upgrade.
Yes.
Washington, in the AFC, in the NFC East, he'd be an upgrade there easily. In the NFC North, Minnesota, well, they've got Kirk Cousins, and they're talking about giving Kirk Cousins more money, right?
Right.
But NFC South, Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa, right?
Right. I mean, honestly, if I'm the Saints, like, he's an upgrade over Derek Carr. I know they just signed him. But most of these teams, it's only probably about five or six teams that I can confidently say, like, oh, yeah, Lamar Jackson's not an upgrade over.
I think what's weird to me is that Lamar Jackson, I can confidently say, is one of the top five or six quarterbacks walking the planet today. And what's so unique about this is that typically in the NFL, because of a few reasons, because of the franchise tag and because of the short lifespan of NFL players, typically somebody who is at the top of their game, a top five, top six talent, does not hit free agency effectively until they're not good anymore. You know what I mean? Like we're right. thinking about like J.J. Watt playing for the Cardinals his last couple years, right? Like in the NFL, there are not really examples of like a LeBron James, of like a LeBron James going to Miami. Like those types of things typically do not happen. Typically, you play for a team from the time you're drafted at 21, 22 until you're like 29, 30, and then you finish your career away somewhere else for a couple of years. So the and... he's a quarterback. And we were just talking about, we've always talked about how hard it is to get a quarterback that can get you to a Super Bowl. To help get you to a Super Bowl, man, just getting a quarterback that's competent.
Right.
Finding competence is so difficult. And it's so difficult to the point where you got to pay Kirk Cousins guaranteed money. You got to pay Dak Prescott $40-45 million. You got to pay Daniel Jones in the neighborhood of $40 million. And yes, that's just average to above average, right? It is so hard to find average that you have to overpay for it. So the idea that a guy like Lamar Jackson is available at this moment and people aren't falling all over themselves to get him is mind-blowing to me, especially given what happened last spring with Deshaun Watson, right? Now, and that does bring me to another point. Lamar Jackson does need to hire an agent. And more specifically, he should hire Deshaun Watson's agent, David Mulgeta, because this man turns water into wine. Okay? If he can get a... bro, can't really think about this, right? Deshaun Watson, I always say, was accused in more than two dozen lawsuits of being a sexual degenerate.
Yeah.
And right after, the district attorney's office were like, all right, we ain't going to send him to jail. Half of the league lined up to talk to the man. And one of those teams gave him a fully guaranteed contract. If David Mulgeta could do that for Deshaun Watson's black ass, you don't think he could make some shake for Lamar Jackson? Like right at that moment, if I was Lamar Jackson, I would have been like, yo, man, somebody give me that Mulgeta guy's number, like right now. Because he can, look, right, if he could do that for Deshaun Watson at that moment, what could he do for him? What can Mulgeta do for you, Lamar? Okay? I'm just saying, bro.
I knew it was coming.
Hey, man, you thought I was trolling.
I thought he was trolling. No, but I mean, I totally agree. I think he does need to hire an agent because it's just like you said, it's just so crazy to see this happen, like all in real time. This 26-year-old MVP, MVP of the league. Again, he's only lost 16 games as a regular season starting quarterback. And he's not getting any love. Like, it's no rumors. Like, the first thing that we see, Atlanta Falcons. I remember, like, as soon as they put the tag on, I refresh my Twitter feed, Atlanta Falcons. It comes out that the Atlanta Falcons are not interested in Lamar Jackson. Huh? Like, y'all going to be the first team? Like, what options do you have better?
Wait. Hold on. The Atlanta Falcons, either they must be real cool with Logan Woodside, Taylor Heineke, who is Cheeks, and the pride of the Cincinnati Bearcats, Desmond Ridder. Boy.
I was like,
child, please.
It's not making sense. It's not making sense to me as far as how many of you teams actually want to compete. How many of you teams actually want to win games? Because this guy has proven that he can win games in the NFL. He's young. He doesn't have like a troubled history. Like, what are we waiting on?
That is like, I think, a $1 million question. I want to ask the Baltimore Ravens, what is the plan if Lamar Jackson leaves? Like, because my big question.
That was my next question.
Because I want to know, like, you've built your roster, the entire roster, around Lamar Jackson. Like, offensively, the way you ran your offense, you went and got Greg Roman, who, you know, was a coordinator for Kaepernick. You went and got guys who would fit, like, they went and got a whole bunch of black backup quarterbacks who fit that same sort of mold that Lamar fit. You've built, like, what is your plan if Lamar Jackson leaves? Because you can't just drop any old fool into this offense and make it work. Like, what quarterbacks that are in the NFL right now would be able to run and play well with the type of personnel that the Ravens have? Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts. Like, yep. Those are the two. And neither of them dudes, it appears, are going anywhere. So, right. If Lamar Jackson isn't going to be their quarterback next year, what? I don't understand it. Like, and of course, maybe them boys in Baltimore, and obviously they know a hell of a lot more about football than I do.
Right. Like, this is not like some, you know, like, trash organization. You got to think, okay, maybe they might know what they're doing, but like at the same time, from what we're seeing, this looks terrible because this guy has done nothing but prove that he's worthy of another contract.
And because my thing is this, right? How many times, if you're a team like Baltimore that was in the position that they were in, can you trade back into the first round and get a MVP at pick 32, an MVP quarterback that late, right? They don't have, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't believe they have the draft capital to move up way up into the first round and get one of the top three or four quarterbacks. So you plan on going out there with Tyler Huntley next year? Or, you know, the only possible way I could see this making any sort of sense is if, this won't even make any sense either. Let's say they were like, you know what, Lamar wants to go to Chicago and they make a trade for Justin Fields. That's the only thing I could think of. Because how else is this going to work?
I don't see it, man. I don't see it, but I guess that's why those guys get paid way more money than me.
Now, that is very true. That is very true. And we was talking about quarterbacks just a second ago. So NFL draft is actually coming up. And this year, I am actually very, very, very excited. I am. Like last year's draft, I didn't care about. I didn't watch or nothing because there was not nay a quarterback in that draft. And typically that does not matter, right? With its quarterback rich draft or quarterback scarce draft, because somebody was able to talk themselves into taking Mitch Trubisky at number two. If somebody's able to talk themselves into Mitch Trubisky at number two, right? And last year, a quarterback wasn't picked till 20. Yeah, the quarterback pickings was slim. But this year, we got some ballers. Bryce Young from Alabama, CJ Stroud, and just to me, the person that's just the most intriguing, that big monster Anthony Richardson from Florida. My God. Like, I want Anthony Richardson to be good so bad. But I think, look, this is the best way I can put it. The ceiling is heaven and the floor is in the fiery depths of hell. And I mean the fiery depths of hell, like where Vince McMahon and gonna be roommates. That depths of hell. Okay?
I'm excited too, because all three of those quarterbacks, like you said, are just either I like him or very intriguing. My thing with Anthony Richardson is this, like, I hope he does well in the league and like I'm rooting for him. I just don't like when a lot of stock gets put into a workout. You know what I mean? And I don't think that that should surpass, you know, your years long of film or your 2 years long of film. And if that guy's been playing better than you for the last year or two, like, I don't think that one day where you show that you, you know, jump 40 inches and, you know, do all this impressive stuff, which is very impressive. I don't think that should surpass somebody else who's got this year's body of work, that shows that they're qualified for the position. Now, I think that if somebody takes him in the late first or second, i.e. like a Jalen Hurts, I totally agree with you. I think his ceiling is super high because, I mean, he's basically got the same body as Josh Allen. And at that combine, he threw the ball pretty well too. Like, it wasn't just like his athleticism. His throwing was very impressive, which is important for the quarterback position. But I just hated how they just kind of blew up the vertical and the 4-4 is kind of important. But how they blew up all this other stuff that just wasn't related to the QB position. Because you're just like hyping this kid up. And so like if he gets drafted, you know, in the top 5, top 10, and he has these expectations on him for a team that he's not ready to be a part of, that's not, you know, ready to build around him, then he's going to flame out and be like, oh, well, look at this bus. Well, no, like he wasn't really projected to be drafted that high. You guys just loved it and boosted him in this top 5, top 10. So, but again, I do hope that he does well. I hope that he goes to a good situation. I hope he pans out to be a great NFL starting quarterback. I hope all three of them turn out to be really good. And I'm excited to see where they end up.
To me, the thing about Anthony Richardson was this, right? I always ask myself this question. Why were you only a 1 year starter? Right. And I asked that same question several years ago about Mitch Trubisky. And I said, okay, so who was it that started over Mitch Trubisky? And it was some dude by the name of Marquise Williams. Kennedy Miller, have you ever heard of Marquise Williams?
I have not.
Right. And so my question is, like, it's different if it's if this is Ohio State or Alabama or someplace like you. Okay, you sat behind Joe Burrow or, oh, you sat behind Dwayne Haskins. Right. Or, oh, you sat behind insert person here. You couldn't beat up Marquise Williams. I was like, I don't know about this guy. And so then with Anthony Richardson, the first thing is, all right, so Emory Jones was a dude you couldn't beat out as a sophomore. Emory Jones isn't good. Like, I watched enough of him to say that he ain't good, right? Why couldn't you beat him out? You know what I'm saying? And then last year watching him play, it is boom or it's bust. Like, you have like moments where you just see his athleticism, like, oh my God, if he could just put it together, he's going to be great. And then you see moments, you're like, boy, he might need some gloves and learn how to get in a 3-point stance because he's going to be a tight end. But with him, I think what's going to get him drafted is there is some coach out there that thinks they can fix him. Some coach out there that's like, yep.
You know it.
That's like, yep. I see those traits. I can coach that dude up. I've coached worse. And I know why that dudes who are thinking, yo, I've coached worse guys and made them good players. We saw Jalen Hurts last year, man. We saw a dude who is not as physically talented as Anthony Richardson, who had the same sort of issues with accuracy, put it together and boom. This is a dude who's more physically talented than Jalen Hurts is, has more just natural ability than a dude like Jalen Hurts, right? Like, this is Cam. Like, this is legitimately Cam, dude.
Like, I was just about to say that.
Like, Cam. And when I watch, but that's the scary part about him, because this dude, when I watch him, like, yo, he needs to sit 1 year, maybe two.
That's what I'm saying. I totally agree.
So with him, he's going to have to go to the right situation. And it is the end for Josh Allen. What was pivotal was Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll put him in good situations. Brian Daboll coached him really well. And Josh Allen just became boom. But I also think it's very difficult for me to wrap my head around thinking a guy's going to be an NFL success when they weren't all conference in college, right? Like Josh Allen's last year at college, he wasn't second team in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that just, that's something for me that I can't get around. You know what I mean? Right.
presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for Devin, oh, presidents to represent me. Who wanna bet us that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever?
Now, for Bryce Young, the question is he too short? I think that's a tough question to answer because I would typically say if a dude like Cam Newton couldn't stay healthy at 6'6", 250, I mean, albeit they used him like a fullback at times, then a dude who's much smaller definitely won't be able to stay healthy. And also, Bryce is built a little bit different than some of the smaller quarterbacks, like your Drew Breeses or your Russell Wilsons or your Kyler Murrays. Like, Kyler Murray's built kind of like a hot water heater. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, but Bryce is just kind of slight.
It's tough because, I mean, obviously 20, 25 years ago, they wouldn't even consider him just because of his height. And like a guy like Charlie Ward, they would have just kind of put him in that situation. But like now, you know, when quarterbacks are protected the most, okay, maybe like you were saying about Anthony Richardson, like coach can say like, okay, this guy's got talent though. Like I can get something out of him. Because I coach guys with less. So somebody, I mean, obviously he's going to go probably top five, top 10, whatever. But I just think if he knows how to protect his body and get down, like you said, like Cam Newton was just like a fullback. And I feel like not only did his team use him like that, but like the league officiated him like that. Like they didn't, those defensive players knew they weren't going to get those calls on Cam Newton. So they like them Denver Broncos went crazy. I remember not just the Super Bowl, but you remember the first game back the next year?
Oh, he was getting tagged.
They whooped his ass. I mean, they just went crazy on him. But I don't, you know, no quarterback now is going to allow to be officiated like that.
Yeah.
So he's got a chance. It's just hopefully, again, he knows how to protect his body. He knows how to get down. And he's around a stable offensive line that can – keep him up majority of the season.
Bro, because the thing I was thinking about with Bryce Young, man, all these last couple years I watched him. I only remember seeing like two passes batted down at the line. Like legitimately. And like the dude is just so good. And I'll say the only reason Bryce Young is not the runaway number one pick is because he's 5'10". Because if he was not, we would have been building him up for like the last 2 years the same way we built up Andrew Luck.
Yep.
As the no-brainer number one pick. The same way Caleb Williams from USC is being built up. It's like, yo, he's number one. Book it. And tell me if this makes any sense, bro. Is it just me or has the last like 7-8 years Nick Saban all of a sudden has been able to turn out some quarterbacks?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Because, and the reason I say that was because like the first like 7-8 years of Saban's run in Tuscaloosa, the quarterback was effectively like an ancillary piece. Like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to play tough defense. We're just going to suffocate you. And the quarterback, all you have to do is, what do I always say, Ken?
Drive the car, 10-2.
Yes, sir. And for the last, like, really since 2014 when they got Blake Sims and when Lane Kiffin showed up, they have had Blake Sims, who threw for like 3,000 or 4,000 yards, set the then passing record at Alabama. You know, you have Jacob Coker in the middle, and they just made him hand the ball off to Derrick Henry 100 times a game.
Yep.
Then they go to Jalen Hurts. Then they go to Tua. Then they have Mac Jones, and now they're going to have Bryce Young. That is three first-round picks and a dude who went to the Super Bowl. Yo, bro, that's something wild. But I do think the craziest thing to me when it comes to like taking quarterbacks and the like, given the scarcity of quarterbacks, at best, these dudes are going to be above average. At best, most of them, like getting a Lamar Jackson, getting a Aaron Rodgers, getting a Mahomes, you're hoping for that. But you're more than likely to be willing to pay them if they just turn out to be Matt Stafford. You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, all three of those guys, I think we come to the agreement that we're all excited about in some way, shape, or form. And again, just like, I want all three of them dudes to pan out in all different ways. CJ Stroud, solid quarterback. I think he's pretty good. I think Bryce Young is the best one, like you said, and Anthony Richardson. I just want the combine measurements, all this stuff to be like vindicated and be able to be shown. because you got another guy like Cam Newton in the league. Like, the league was, I mean, it was fun watching Cam Newton play. Like, it's fun watching a guy like Josh Allen play. Even though I don't put him on that same level, I think, that 1 year that Cam Newton had was just special, man. That 15-1.
No, he was tough.
But yeah, I just hope all of them have great careers, man, and go to the right situation.
Are you tired of all the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consulting are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them handle all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925, or you can visit their website at www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com. Again, that's www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters.
Speaking of people that are not in the right situation, you're looking at me like that Kennedy Miller. Was that another segue? You didn't know that was coming?
I was trying to see how you were going to do it.
Yeah, man, the people not in the right situations are not putting themselves in the right situations. This time, we're talking about Demetrius Jamel Morant. What the hell is wrong with Demetrius? Because I'm just going to call him Demetrius for a while, okay? Because every time I see John Morant out here in these streets cosplaying as NBA Youngboy, I just feel like, you remember that scene from ATL when Esquire was at Nunu's house and he was like, "You got a Picasso in your house." Bro, that's what I just keep thinking. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, look, man. Being in the fact that man is from South Carolina, right? In the southeast United States, given what the gun laws are, you should not be up here flashing guns at people. Because Kennedy Miller, where are we from?
Texas.
Flash a gun at somebody in Texas, what's going to happen?
They're going to flash theirs back at you.
Look, and they're going to send you to the king.
Yep.
Shout out to Tamala Man. But I'm just like, dude. Boy, John, look, like, and that's the thing with him. This, you just feel a disaster coming with him. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you fighting teenagers at your house. Your mama had a problem at the finish line, so she gonna call you, and you show up with 10 of your homeboys, and y'all up here trying to fight security. And my question on that is, why wouldn't she call Mr. Morant? Right? Or does she think... No, like, seriously, like, think about this, Ken. Anytime our moms have a problem, they don't think to call us, do they? Look, my mama having a problem somewhere, she not calling me. She calling the big fella. She calling Ron. Mm-hmm. Unless she thinks her husband is more irrational and lacks common sense, and Ja's the more rational of the two of them, which is a little bit more terrifying. But it's like, dude, somebody gonna kill you. Like, everybody knows that dude who's up in college trying to act tough, playing with guns, doing way too much. Everybody knows that person. And that person gets got. And if you're Ja, like, bro, you gotta stop this. But the problem is, who gonna tell him something? And my big thing is, man, I'm upset and I'm sad because I love watching the Memphis Grizzlies. I love the Grizzlies, man. They are exciting. I want good things to happen for them, partly because I love hearing 20,000 people holler, "Whoop that trick," in unison. Not that I'm like, you know, supporting any sort of domestic violence. I just think that's a great song. And to hear 20,000 people, hey, man, we always got to clear that up. You know what I'm saying? Hey, always got to add that disclaimer. Because you know why, Kennedy Miller? We are not still in Gateway Apartments.
We have jobs.
We got jobs. Jobs we need to keep. So, yeah, man, and it's weird saying this at 27 years old, seeing somebody that's like 22, 23 and being like, he got to get his life together. But Ja got to get his life together for real, bro.
I agree. I mean, it's just unfortunate to see, like, one of the faces of the league. Like, you know, I feel like he's just doing some stupid stuff right now, man. Like, I don't know who his PR people are, but I know they got to be in shambles right now. Because it was just, like, a month and a half stretch of, like, the laser beam situation in Indiana, the finish line situation with his mom, and then the gun in the club after the Denver game. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, y'all are the second seed in the West. Y'all are balling. You are one of the faces of the league. And this is what you're doing on live? Like, you got to be better, bro. So, I mean, I hope, you know, they said he's going in for rehab and, you know, he's probably not coming back this season. I hope all the best for him. I don't think that they're going to make any noise without him. So, I mean, it's just a kind of a disappointment if it is true that he will miss the rest of the season, because I don't know. You and I were kind of talking about this earlier, how somebody is just going to be thrown in the playoffs after they haven't played for, what, a month?
Just about.
And just expect to give, yeah, and then expect to give MVP level production. It's just not going to happen. And then, you know, with the rest of the, you know, Western Conference kind of shaping up as it is, it's not like you're going to end up playing like the Rockets in the first round where you can just get like a feel out series and get your legs under you. Like, you might end up playing like Portland, bro, and like have to guard Dame, you know, 40 minutes a night. And like, that's not going to be no easy task. Or you might have to like mess around and play Dallas. Like, they've lost 3 games in a row. They could very well slide out and then win the first game and be the 7th seed. That's not going to be ideal for you to have to go up against Kyrie and Luka for a 7-game series to get your feet back under you because you just got out of rehab. It, like I said, it's just disappointing. But again, I'm rooting for the brother. I hope everything, you know, gets situated, and I hope he can just, you know, turn it around and get back to playing like he was.
Bro, and I actually just thought about this. You know, I think Kennedy Miller, we might be past the age where we need, like, Ja brought his gun with him to the booty club, right? I remember being, you know, around that age where you're willing to, you know, flirt with danger in the name of a good time. Shout out to Gold Diggers.
Shout out Gold Diggers.
Shout out to him. Shout out to him. You know, and we love to support an independent contractor. But...
Oh, independent contract.
Yo, I am past the age where I'm willing to put possibly my life in danger in the name of a good time. I'm past that point because I'm at the point now where I'm like this. Oh, they be shooting out there? Oh, no, I ain't going.
Right.
Or, John, you got $200 million. You could bring the shake joint to you.
Right. Like, is it really worth it?
I mean, now here's what I will say, man. The shake joint putting out like still photos of him in that's the building. Up. I think that's messed up. I mean, because what they think he's supposed to be doing in the shake joint, reading the Harry Potter book?
Right. Right. Like, I mean, he doing what you asked him to do. And it looked like he spent a lot of money.
Boy, that was money all up. Boy, he paid so much tuition. He putting somebody's child through private school with the amount of money. Absolutely. That was on that. My God. But, you know, getting back to the basketball of this, man, like we kind of said, man, this thing for the Grizzlies was probably going to be over anyway, right? Because, like, even if Ja is playing at his best, I had serious questions about the dude just on the fact of, can he make a jump shot consistently?
Correct.
The answer's been, like, at this point, no, right? Like, you're not going to be able to win consistently in the playoffs and go past the second round consistently if you are not a competent jump shooter. You know what I mean? And so now they're going to be left without him, and their best perimeter player is going to be good old Desmond Bane. So,
I mean, it's just not enough. Not in this Western Conference.
Not in a West that's loaded. Loaded, loaded, loaded. And I still got no clue who's going to win. Like, I got, like, Denver is the best team in the West. Denver is going to be the one seed, easily.
Yes.
Like we said last time, ain't none of us confident Denver going to make it to the conference finals even. And that's wild because, like, Michael Porter Jr. is probably your fourth best player. That's nuts. That is nuts. Like, the question about the Suns at this point that I have is, are they going to have enough time to play together to get their feet underneath them?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, it looked really good, you know, when the move was made. And obviously watching KD play, he, you know, fits in seamlessly with almost everybody. But you have to have some type of continuity. And I think that that showed last year when they got swept by Boston. Like, yeah, Kyrie missing all this time. You know, the uncertainty about Ben Simmons, like they just didn't have enough time to get it together. So I don't know why you would expect different. And you're probably going to be playing a better team than what you like than what he played against last year. Like, they're going to be playing a conference finals matchup in the first round if it stays how it is with them playing Phoenix. I mean, with them playing Clippers in the 4-5 spot. That is inconceivable that they would see that in the first round. And then, to our point again about Denver, then you got to play the winner of that. See ya.
I mean, I'm just kind of thinking through it right now, right? One of these teams isn't going to make the playoffs, right? It, like 7 through 10 right now is the Timberwolves, the Mavs, the Lakers, and the Pelicans, right? At this point, I don't see Zion coming back. And I'm upset about that because, oh my God, when Zion was on the floor, oh man, boy was cooking. Big fella was cooking.
Yo, I mean, like, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's just been in the West. Like, all these teams, like the Pelicans, when they were healthy, were the number two seed in the West. Until, like, New Year's. Like, it wasn't, like, the first month. Until, like, New Year's, they were the second seed in the West. And then they lost, like, I think they went on, like, 10 or 11 game losing streak.
Yep.
You know, like, the Clippers have had injuries. The Suns have had injuries. You know, the Lakers have had injuries. The Pelicans have had injuries. Oklahoma City is a good young team. Now Shai Gilgeous is not playing back-to-backs. But, you know, they have a lot of talent. So it is so much talent, like you said, especially trying to figure out what those play-in teams are going to do, what the last, you know, from 5 to 13 separates 4.5 games. Like, you go on a 3 or 4 game losing streak, you are out of there.
Yeah. Like, there's that and, like, the thought that, like, the other night, man, they had the Clippers at the 8 slot, right? They're back up to 5, maybe 6 right now, at a tie with the, like, them and the Warriors have, like, the exact same record right now, right?
Right.
So, it's kind of hard to, like, tease that one out. But, like, the top 3 teams in the Western Conference, maybe, like, really the top 4, I have reasons to say all these teams might lose in the first round. Well, exception of the Nuggets. With the exception of the Nuggets. Well, I know you think if the Lakers get in and have to play the Denver Nuggets, Jokic is going to be in hell.
Alex, that Serbian 7-footer better hope that he don't have to play LA in the first round. He better hope, because that would be the worst thing that could have happened to him. Now, I think the worst matchup for him is Golden State. But the second worst is the Lakers. I don't think that they'll get in, because I think that they'll get either the 7th or the 6th seed. It's looking more like the 7th now. But I think that they'll get the 7th seed. So I don't think that they'll be playing them. But, I mean, to your point, like we were just talking about, like Dallas, Luka, and Kyrie have not played in the last, like, 3 games. They've lost 3 games in a row. Like, they're sliding. If they got to play in a play-in game and get the 8th seed and play Denver, like, they don't, like, that's not an 8 seed traditionally.
No.
You're supposed to breeze through these dudes. Like, at worst, that's going 6, in my opinion.
Bro, side note, did you see that video of Kyrie, like, in that random room with that coat on? Bro, at first, I thought it was, like, some random ranting on the subway. You know what I'm saying?
I did see that.
Because I was like this, who is that? Like, I didn't know who it was at first. Then I was like, oh, that's Kyrie speaking some gibberish. Like, bro, this is not going well for him. Not at all, bro. Like, Kyrie Luther King, apparent, like, him and Luka, this is not working. He seems to, like, you know, be rocking with South Oak Cliff. You know what I'm saying? Because he had the Oak Cliff hat on the other day. Shout out to Death Row. But, like... What, like, dude, every time I see Kyrie Irving, bro, it must be hell to be his friend. You know that? Because imagine the type of stupidity he's reading in the locker room. Imagine just the type of nonsensical conversations people be having with Kyrie on the day to day. You trying to talk to him about the plays, and he up here talking about the 5%ers. Kyrie up here trying to kick knowledge to you. Like, this is an intro to African American studies course. Oh, God.
Yes.
Hey, bro, question. What if Luka Doncic gets radicalized? Bro, like, for real, bro, what if Luka Doncic gets radicalized by Kyrie Irving? Because we all see, like, the white ally. What if Kyrie starts showing up in a dashiki? Oh, God.
Yeah, man, I don't. Kyrie's nuts. But if they get in, they're going to be a tough out. And I'm going to tell you what, Sacramento, like, that, if I had to pick one team out of those first four that I picked to win a playoff series, it's Sacramento. Now, obviously, if they play the Lakers, I'm gonna have to roll with the Lakers. But I don't want to play Sacramento though. Like, that is a, like, those young dudes run and they play and they don't know no better. Like, Fox, I think is proven to be, obviously, you know, he was on the cusp of it, but top 10, top 7 point guard in the league. Like, he just looks ready. Like, he looks like the all-star version now of himself. And, you know, they're a good team and they put up points in bunches, got the number one offensive rating in NBA history. It's going to be very interesting. And like I said, even just starting with that 4-5 Clippers Suns, these first round matchups could be like, you know, like all go 5 or 6 games, or 6 or 7 rather.
Man, it is probably going to be some of the most exciting basketball we've ever seen. And I say that to just be like, yo, man, week in, week out, man, we gonna be up here doing these live shows for y'all, answering questions. Like, I'm excited for this right here, because, like, I haven't been this excited for a playoffs in a long time.
Because, I mean, honestly, think about it. This is just one side. This is just one side of the Western Conference. You got Jokic, potentially Ja, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, possibly Luka, Kyrie, possibly LeBron, AD, all in the playoffs on the same side.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Dog, and he is quickly moving up my ladder of top players in the league, because that boy is nice.
Ooh, hey.
Once they get Chet back, I don't know how he's going to pan out, but he just needs to be a role player, because that's the star of the team. That's the star of the team. Like, I was watching him. I've been watching him play like 6 or 7 times, because, like, around these last like 20 games, I've been locked in, because obviously, you know, I want my Lakers in. So I've been keeping up with the teams around them. But Shai, man, them dudes are, they all have a long wingspan. They can shoot it. They play defense. They play hard. You know what I mean? And, like, they only getting better. And I'm like, these boys going to be, because I was watching them play Golden State last week, and I'm like, okay, Golden State going, you know, they don't play well on the road, but they should win this one. Y'all, them dudes came out, knocked their head off.
Clean. You know who you didn't mention?
Who?
Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. They might be there too. Like, bro.
I think Minnesota does get in. I think Minnesota gets in. That's why I think we're going to be at the 7th seed, because Minnesota's playing very well lately. Carl Anthony Towns about to be back soon. And Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite players in the league. Like, I just like the way he plays. I like his swagger, his tenacity. I think he says all the right things about, you know, like, trying to guard the other team's best player. They're coming. And I think that them getting Mike Conley, they wanted to get a veteran with Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert. But they have a really good roster. And I think they get in the 6th seed. I think those first 5 that we talked about already are the same: Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, the Clippers, the Suns, Minnesota. I think LA gets the 7th seed, and I think probably the Pelicans get the 8th seed, just because they lost to the Lakers tonight, but they play the Rockets back to back, the Spurs, and then another team that is way below 500. They should win 4 games in a row and be, you know, very well team to compete for that 8th seed.
No doubt, man. No doubt. We are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my man, I appreciate you for hanging out with me again. Where can folks find you? Twitter, Instagram, all that, bro.
You can find me on Twitter _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Tangeray, S as in Suns, like Phoenix Suns, M as in Mavericks, like the Dallas Mavericks. Follow the show on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We'll see you guys next time.